This is the English translation of the message delivered by Pastor Hon in the morning of October 15th, 2023. The message title is Pieces Are Coming Together. The scripture passage is from Book of Numbers, chapter 2, verses 1 through 34. Good morning. Let us turn to a Book of Numbers, chapter 2, verses 1 through 34. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "The Israelites are to camp around the tent of meeting, some distance from it, each of them under their standard and holding the banners of their family. On the east, towards the sunrise, the divisions of the camp of Judah are to encamp under their standard. The leader of the people of Judah is Nahashon, son of Amminadab. His division numbers 74,600. The tribe of Issachar will camp next to them. The leader of the people of Issachar is Nethanel, son of Zur. His division numbers 54,400. The tribe of Zebulun will be next. The leader of the people of Zebulun is Eliab, son of Helon. His division numbers 57,400. All the men assigned to the camp of Judah, according to their divisions, number 186,400. They will set out first. On the south will be the divisions of the camp of Reuben under their standard. The leader of the people of Reuben is Elizur, son of Shedur. His division numbers 46,500. The tribe of Simeon will camp next to them. The leader of the people of Simeon is Shelmiel, son of Zurishaddai. His division numbers 59,300. The tribe of Gad will be next. The leader of the people of Gad is Elisaph, son of Duel. His division numbers 45,650. All the men assigned to the camp of Reuben, according to their divisions, number 151,450. They will set out second. Then the tent of meeting and the camp of the Levites will set out in the middle of the camps. They will set out in the same order as they encamp, each in their own place under their standard. On the west will be the divisions of the camp of Ephraim under their standard. The leader of the people of Ephraim is Elishama, son of Amihud. His division numbers 40,500. The tribe of Manasseh will be next to them. The leader of the people of Manasseh is Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. His division number is 32,200. The tribe of Benjamin will be next. The leader of the people of Benjamin is Abidan, son of Gideoni. His division number is 35,400. All the men assigned to the camp of Ephraim, according to their divisions, number 108,100. They will set out third. On the north will be the divisions of the camp of Dan under their standard. The leader of the people of Dan is Ahiezer, son of Amishadai. His division numbers 62,700. The tribe of Asher will camp next to them. The leader of the people of Asher is Pejiel, son of Okram. His division numbers 41,500. The tribe of Naphtali will be next. The leader of the people of Naphtali is Ahira, son of Enan. His division numbers 53,400. All the men assigned to the camp of Dan number 157,600. They will set out last under their standards. These are the Israelites counted according to their families. All the men in the camps by their divisions number 603,550. The Levites, however, were not counted along with the other Israelites as the Lord commanded Moses. So the Israelites did everything the Lord commanded Moses, that is the way they encamped under their standards, and that is the way they set out, each of them with their clan and family. This morning, I would like to take a break from the usual book of Ephesians and give a message that serves as my testimony from the second chapter of Numbers, which I just read. When you think of the book of Numbers, you may have the impression that it is the difficult book in the Bible to read following Leviticus. About 27 years ago, when I tried reading the Bible for the first time, it suddenly became difficult to read from the second half of Exodus, and when I entered the Leviticus, I suddenly hit the brakes. To be honest, I did not understand the reason. I started to feel dissatisfied with things like, why do I have to do this painful reading? And, dear God, couldn't you have made it a little easier to read and understand? Somewhere along the way in Leviticus, I stopped reading the Bible, which I started with Genesis. After repeating this several times, I was led to a seminary, and as I read through the Bible while listening to the classes at the seminary, I was finally able to read Leviticus and Numbers. However, I just read it, and the content did not hit my mind. I was able to recognize that the text contained information that was very important theologically in terms of the Old Testament in order to understand the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. However, there was no such thing as being directly useful for my own growth in faith or maturity, or the kind of understanding that makes my heart rejoice, oh, I finally understand. Then when did the Bible passages that seem difficult to understand, such as Leviticus or Numbers, come to my mind to be able to say, oh, I got it. That's amazing. These are the words of God that are like treasures that I need, salvation and the Spirit. I came to this thought through learning and serving messages at the early morning prayer meeting that I started 19 years ago after I became the youth director at Tsuchiura Megumi Church. For me, the morning service of the early morning prayer meeting became a major turning point not only in my faith, but also in my life. I had to give a message from the Bible for about 45 minutes every morning, except Sunday, so I had to prepare a message with a fair volume of content. For some reason, preparing messages for Sunday services is still a very difficult task for me, as it was 19 years ago. But preparing messages and serving messages for early morning prayer meetings is not at all difficult. Although it is physically demanding from time to time, it was and still is just fun to me. So, in a sense, through the message preparation and the message service of the early morning prayer meeting that God forced me to do, little by little I began to understand with reality that the books from the latter half of Exodus to Leviticus and Numbers were from God's love, filled with great fun and with an amazing content. And right now, I'm personally slowly reading through the book of Numbers, and as I wrote in the foreword of the October issue of monthly newsletter Megumi, I cannot help but enjoy it from the first chapter of the book of Numbers. The passages that I had read in a vague manner before caught my attention now one by one, and I noticed the density and precision of the content. God's hand, God's plan, God's guidance, God's intention. I cannot help but open each Bible passage that comes to mind that is related to the passages in Numbers. And as I open it, I'm moved by the connection and the meaning between the two. I cannot help but be moved by the big picture that God has in mind. I'm surprised to find that I can now see things that I could not see before. What used to be just a list of names of numbers that I did not really understand came to me as words of God that I'm now thankful for. I'm surprised that I am now able to see the words of the Bible that I could not see before, and that I'm able to see the Bible more than before. And this moves me. Before, I had pieces of the Bible words in my head that had been scattered around, and they had not been just put together, and I had no idea what kind of picture of God was hidden there, or how it would be completed. Now, not only do they come together in my mind, but they also come together in my heart, and I begin to see the outline of the picture, and I am overwhelmed with emotion. I was overwhelmed with the tides of feelings, like, yes, time is not just passing by. God's hand is upon me. God's plan and direction is in my daily life. Not only is there a Bible, but also I am with God's words and I am living in the Bible. As I imagine in my head a picture of a large treasure box full of gold, silver, treasures, and jewels, all held up by my hands, I feel that the words of the Bible are the treasure itself. It's just really moving. For example, when I read today's Bible passage from Numbers chapter 2, a big picture came to mind. This is the scene of worship service in the kingdom of heaven described in Revelation chapter 7. Four mysterious creatures and angels who are entrusted with the spiritual governance of all the created world are surrounding God the Father and the Lamb Jesus, and I could picture in my mind the countless spiritual Israel, God's people, who believed in Christ, beginning with the 12 tribes of Israel, are offering thanks, praises, and worships to God the Father and the Lamb Jesus, who were in the midst of them. Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 17. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribes of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000, from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000, from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000, from the tribe of Levi, 12,000, from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000, from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000, from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000, from the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000, the great multitude in white robes. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulations. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." In the second chapter of Numbers, the 12 tribes surrounded the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was placed, containing the two stone tablets inscribed with the words of God through Moses. The image of the camp in John's Revelation shows a crowd of countless people centering around God the Father of the Kingdom of Heaven, the Lamb Jesus, whose clothes were made white by the blood of the Lamb Jesus. The two images overlapped in my mind. Moreover, in Revelation chapter 7, Jesus is not referred to as Lord Jesus or Son Jesus, but Jesus the Lamb, which is similar to the tabernacle in Numbers 2. As I mentioned earlier, in the back of the tabernacle, there are not only two stone tablets inscribed with God's words, but another important role of the tabernacle was to conduct a worship ritual in which livestock was sacrificed for the forgiveness and atonement of sins. Just like the livestock as a ransom for the sins, the Lord Jesus, without any blemish or sin, was crucified as a lamb, slaughtered and killed, and through the atonement, God's salvation was revealed to us humans. This is exactly what is written in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Jesus did exactly what the words say, so in Revelation, instead of saying Lord Jesus or Son Jesus, it says Jesus the Lamb. And in both the scene of the worship in the Kingdom of Heaven in Revelation chapter 7 and the scene of the Israelites surrounding the tabernacle in Numbers chapter 2, there is the rich manifestation and presence of God. The rich presence of God rejoices, comforts, encourages, guides, and strengthens His people. No hunger, no thirst, no heat can overtake them, and He wipes away all their tears. Furthermore, in both the list of names of the 12 tribes of Israel that appear in Revelation chapter 7 and the list of the 12 tribes of Israel that appear in Numbers chapter 2, the first name that appears is the tribe of Judah. When I read the book of Numbers for the first time 27 years ago, it did not matter whether it was the tribe of Judah, Reuben, or Benjamin. To my ignorant mind, they were all the same. I had no idea at all, and I did not know the difference. They were all just a list of names that looked the same, and the names of people I did not understand, and I had no idea who each name referred to or what kind of people they were. But now I understand. Now I can understand the difference we can see in the list of names and their order, God's great intentions, meanings, plans, and pictures are expressed. Originally, Reuben was the eldest son of the 12 brothers of the 12 tribes of Israel. So if we are to arrange them in order of age and birth, Reuben and the Reuben tribe would have to come first. However, the fourth son, Judah, appears first in the list of names, as if the tribe of Judah were the eldest son. This is because in the book of Genesis, Reuben, the eldest son, committed the sin of incest, which should have never happened in the family. And God told him, "You are not qualified to be the eldest son." As a result, Reuben was no longer able to carry on his spiritual genealogy. Instead, the fourth son, Judah, was treated like the firstborn. The reason why Judah came to be treated like the firstborn is not specifically stated. Just like our salvation, it was a choice made solely by God's grace. And above all, the Messiah, Jesus, was born from the lineage of Judah. Therefore, in the order of the names of the Israelites in Revelation chapter 7, the tribe of Judah appears first, and in the order of the names in Numbers chapter 2, the tribe of Judah also appears first. The tribe of Judah was commanded by God to camp on the east side, centering on the tabernacle. And when they departed from the place where the Israelites were encamped, the tribe of Judah was commanded to surely lead the way. In other words, Judah is the first, and the fact that Judah is the first means that Jesus Christ, who was born from the tribe of Judah, is the first of all things in heaven and earth. Not only that, but like the morning star, like the sun that breaks through the darkness, He was to be born as light on this earth, which is expressed in the tribe of Judah encamped on the east side. Let us look at Numbers chapter 2 again. Numbers chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "The Israelites are to camp around the tent of meeting, some distance from it, each of them under their standard and holding the banner of their family. On the east, towards the sunrise, the divisions of the camp of Judah are to encamp under their standard. The leader of the people of Judah is Nahshon, son of Aminadab. His division numbers 74,600. The tribe of Judah was the first of the 12 tribes of Israel who were commanded by God to camp around the tabernacle. What is noteworthy about this passage is that in verse 3, it means camping on the east side. Unfortunately, there is a missing word that is not translated in the Japanese Bible that is used in this word, east side. The literal translation of the language is the east side where the sun rises. The rising of the sun is the beginning of the day, the breaking of darkness, and the appearance of light that gives strength and nourishment to all living things on this earth. In other words, the fact that the tribe of Judah is camped on the east side where the sun rises was the arrangement of God's great plan, in which the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world, the beginning of all things, the originator, true power, authority, and majesty, was not only to achieve salvation through the forgiveness of sins on the cross, but also to ascend to heaven, return to earth, and rule over all of heaven and earth. It's a huge picture. The fact that the Lord Jesus is the light, the power, and the beginning and progenitor of things is written here in Numbers chapter 2, as if there was a hidden treasure there. Let us look at the description of Jesus in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like a bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 through 23. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is the lamp. Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 13. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ is the light, the first, and the creator who brings things to an end, he never ceases to love each and every one of us. He is the Lamb of God, who became the ransom for sins because of his love for us. 27 years ago, I could not at all discover God's intention or purpose from the book of Numbers, which at first glance was neither interesting nor a remarkable Bible passages for me. I did not know who Judah was or what he meant. I had no way of knowing that the name Judah represented the fact that Jesus is light, power, and the originator of all things. However, 27 years later, when I look at Numbers chapter 2, I began to see that a kind of things. Fragments of God's word, words that seem to be just fragments with no meaning, are God's plan and will, and even inside of me, they have become a big meaning and are coming closer to me. I began to see that this was a serious matter that would change my life. And since I started to see these words of the Bible, I felt like the pieces, fragments, daily hardships, and happy times of my own life were coming together. I was newly convinced, yes, my life is in God's hand, and it's progressing, it's protected, it has meaning, and it's being directed towards the goal God has set for me. Little by little, I felt that the pieces of my life that God had prepared were coming together. I wonder, is it really okay for someone like me to be the senior pastor of Tsujiura Megumi Church? Isn't there someone more suitable? Isn't there a path more suitable for me? An easier path or a path I can deviate to? As I read Numbers chapter 2, I felt as if those thoughts of mine were completely wiped away. As I read Numbers chapter 2, I felt in my whole body that what it means to live the words of the Bible, the fact that one's entire life is contained within the words of the Bible, the fact that there is nothing in human life that deviates from the words of the Bible, and everything begins, progresses, and ends in God's word. The puzzles of our lives are put together in God's word. There is nothing more painful in life than not being able to find or interpret the meaning of our life. No matter how painful it is, no matter how unsatisfying it may be, if you can find the intention in it, if you can give it an interpretation, it will make sense to you. And if we walk with God, if we walk with Jesus Christ, we will discover that a big picture of God is hidden in the fragments of our daily lives. You will be able to experience how those many fragments are eventually expressed in a wonderful picture. And in the end, we will be resurrected. That's why the Apostle Paul described Jesus Christ like this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Let us walk in Christ. Let us store up the words of Christ. Let us live the words of Christ. Let us abide in Christ, where all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden, and enjoy the treasure to its fullest. Let us pray.